This call will go not to be recorded. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to everyone to our regular joint CCNSO-GNSO meeting. I appreciate all of you being here. For any that may not know me, I'm Chuck Gomes, the current chair of the GNSO Council. And Chris and I will be sharing the leadership of our time together today. The first thing I want to say is that whenever you speak, please give your name. That will greatly help the transcribers in doing the transcript. And it also helps any that might be participating remotely and also on the recording. So please remember to give your name when you speak, unless somebody's already given it in introducing you. So that would be much appreciated. We have two topics that are on the agenda today. The first one is synchronized names. Unfortunately, we were hoping that representatives from Taiwan and China could be here for this discussion, but they had conflicts. But Andre Kolesnikov from the .ru and .rf top-level domains is here to give us a little intro to that that hopefully will spark some discussion. And after that, Chris will take over the leadership and we'll talk about a topic that I think is of common interest to all of us, and that's the DNS cert topic. So without further ado, let me turn it over to Andre to give us a little introduction of synchronized names.
Thank you, Chuck. Hello, everybody. I'll try to be short, but it's a little intro of what's going on. Start with a brief description of the issue that IDN table gives the list of characters available for registration and domain names according to the registry policy. It contains variant characters. And variant characters are characters with two or more representations that may appear confusingly similar to each other. And variant TLDs are identical to one another except that the variant characters are substituted for one another in the TLD string. And here we have cases now where in the fast track process there was a decision of the board on April 22nd as a proposed implementation plan for synchronized CCTLDs, IDNs, saying about the CNNIC and TWNIC variant delegations, and I should read it how it sounds. Whereas CNNIC and TWNIC have a significant depth of experience with the registration of string containing variants as domain names at second and lower levels under principles, with the delegation and management of domains that are expected to reflect parallel use of simplified and traditional character rendering and can point to good management experience and good user acceptance, let me put it like this. However, the prehistory of this thing is pretty interesting. It appears in Mexico and Sydney sessions of ICANN. And once approaching the fast-track solutions, there was a work team formed to deal with the issue. And one of the tasks was to study the topic of variant management in the TLD strings and propose the solution of that. And the team recommended that variants not to be delegated as TLD at that time, but the mechanism to be tested to enable future use of variant TLDs. And it must be clearly stated that there is no technical solution for that at the moment to manage variant TLDs. It was recommended that DNAME, as a mechanism for a variant delegation, be tested as possible technical candidate. In brief, a DNAME is a record or delegation name record, and it's defined in the RFC. DNAME record creates an alias for domain name and all its subdomains. At the same time, a proposal for a new resource record referred as to BNAME has been made through IETF as a solution for management of variant TLDs. I think it will take significant time to adopt it, but the difference between B name and D name should be mentioned, that B name represents for bundle names, which provides the capability to map an entire tree of the DNS namespace to another domain. It means that B name redirects both itself and its descendants to the owner, while previously stated D name do not redirect itself, only the descendants. So today we have a case where the board basically approved the delegation of variant TLDs for the two countries, and at the same time we have an enhanced recommendation to implement the technical, well, at least try to implement the technical way of managing the variant TLDs. Honestly, I don't have my own opinion regarding this issue. Of course, it would be better if there is a technical solution for this for these cases. But from the simple mathematical approach, the variance adds complexity to the management of the TLDs and may risk the stability, of course. So, and it's not, it's bad that we don't have administrative resource here to explain how they manage it administratively, because there is no technical way. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Andre. Let me ask a few general questions just to kind of help set the stage further. With regard to the technical work that's going on, is that being done in the IETF or is it a special group within ICANN?
As far as I know, there was a submitted proposal to the IETF. There is a group of technical people basically trying to deal with that. And it's basically initiated by the people who's dealing with variance characters.
And so, and that's for both D name and B name?
No, D name is a part of the RFC already.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought that was the case. The other general question to kind of get discussion going, and maybe Chris wants to add something here too. Assuming that the technical work is completed, I'm guessing that the synchronized name or B name or D name or whatever happens down the road, once there is a technical procedure that's accepted, would apply to both could apply to both GTLDs and CCTLDs. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Of course. It's the same principle. The same issue.
Thanks, Chuck. Chris Despain. It may help if I give you all a bit of the non-technical background as to how we ended up in the situation we currently find ourselves in. Under the fast track process, it was the rules say one name per official language. And we were faced at the time with a specific issue in respect to China, which was that China actually had one language and two scripts. In other words, Chinese is one language, but there is the traditional Chinese script and simplified Chinese script. And so in order to try and deal with that, because China wanted to have both a traditional and a simplified Chinese TLD, IDN CCTLD, we slightly changed the wording of the rules to allow for there to be one name per script. We then ended up in some long, long discussions with CNNIC and, in fact, the Chinese government about what that actually meant, because as far as we were concerned, what it meant was that they got two IDN CCTLDs, two separate delegations, one in traditional, one in simplified, and that if they wanted to tie them together for registrations in China, that's of course entirely a matter for them, but they were two separate TLD delegations. And that had some complications and difficulties for China and for CNNIC and the Chinese government, but eventually we got to a point where we kind of agreed that that's the way it had to be. And there was some flexibility around the application process and money and so on. Then what happened is what always happens, which is, of course, once the applications get made they all disappear into this black box that is unable to be talked about, and IANA does what it does, and in this particular case the ICANN staff are doing what they need to do. And one of the things that needs to happen is that for the fast track process is that there's a independent technical committee who assess everything. And during that assessment process, the technical committee said that because the language table that is being used has, I think I've got this right, the right way around, is simplified Chinese and has traditional Chinese in it as a variant, you could not delegate two separate IDHN CCTLDs using the current wording of the rules. Now, of course, in an open and transparent process, what would happen is that somebody would come back to the people who put this whole thing together and say, oops, we've got a problem. How do we fix this? And we would have fixed it simply by saying, well, we all know what we mean, and we'll just change it. But unfortunately, that didn't happen, and so off went a whole group of people to come up with a way of fixing the problem that has led to the invention, creation, or design of something called a synchronized TLD, which, frankly, I don't understand, and which now, in fact, a significant number of the technical community is saying, why didn't you just change the words in the rule? So that's the non-technical background as to why we have ended up where we have.
Thank you, Chris. Mike. And then I saw something.
Why can't we just change the rule now?
I must say I'm thank you for asking me that question. I mean, I have no idea the answer to that. And my powers are great, but not that great. I don't know.
I think I saw a hand back there, but I don't know who it was. Did I see a hand? No? Okay. Any other questions or comments on this? Edmund.
Well, I guess having been following that whole process, I share a lot of the sentiment from that Chris expressed as well. But I think it is good that there is a solution right now, and especially a situation maybe for, if it is China's loss in a way in terms of time, it could be GTLD's gain. Why I say that is because before a fully technical solution is implementable, as long as ICANN is able to accept the simplified and traditional Chinese delegations for .China, I would think we would be able to argue the same arrangement for new IDN GTLDs. Because in the case of Fast Track, if the wording was changed and it is allowed to be two different applications, two different delegations, that might pose as a very different challenge for GTLDs. So, not changing it and having the synchronized IDN CCTLDs work and be accepted is actually a gain for new GTLDs, I would have to say, and in a way, we thank the CCNSO for doing that.
And I concur with Edmund. We do thank the CCNSO for that work.
Okay, Chris.
Thanks, Chad. Edmund, yes, of course. But let me. My concern is really, I think, is this. Up until this point, when we have talked about variants, and it's an intensely complicated, hard-to-understand thing, but when we've talked about variants, we have been talking about variants in the context of a string. We are now talking about variants in the context of language tables, and so not just a variant of one application for a string, where there are two different keys on a keyboard that mean the same thing. That's fine. But now we find ourselves in a situation where we appear to be heading down a road of accepting the concept that if I put, and I this would never happen, but if I put, if I had an English ASCII language table and I put Chinese into that language table as a variant, then technically, under the current rules, I'm entitled to synchronized, let's say TLD, because of that language table. And I'm not certain that's necessarily what we either want or meant to have happen.
Go ahead, Edmund.
I understand that concern. I think it would be a corner case. A couple of things. We think generally that would be a somewhat of an abusive usage of it. However, there is also one safeguard to it, is that I think in the current proposed, at least, framework, you would be using the same table for second-level registrations. So if you, for lack of a better word, muck around with that language table and, you know, just for getting a particular domain, then there will be downstream issues for your whole registry as well. So
Chris again, sure, but let's look at the new GTLD process, and let's say that I decide that I want to apply for .carpet, and that I would also like .carpet in Arabic or Chinese. That secures it for me, doesn't it? If I produce a language table that says I've got ASCII and let's say Arabic and Chinese, so two non-Latin scripts, that secures under the synchronized TLD situation, that secures that for me, doesn't it? And do you necessarily want that?
I guess that's, you know, you're taking it a very extreme cases, right? But the issue is that then all the second level registrations would follow the same language table that you have created. So it's, you know, if you think if a registry can come up with a solution that perfectly matches it, then perhaps, yeah, it's something that is viable. I guess the other point in terms of question is whether these language tables, there should be some sort of vetting going forward. I just throw this out. I understand that this will be frowned upon quite a bit if we try to vet any of the language tables. But is that what you're trying to suggest?
Certainly not. I'm just drawing a picture of what may happen, and these things need to be thought about. That's all.
Christina Rosette, I had thought, and maybe it was just limited to the variants, but I thought there was language in the DAG that said that the tables that were submitted by applicants would be compared against other tables that ICANN itself. Yeah, so I think to some extent there may in fact be some vetting.
And I think that's correct, Christina. The when you said privately to me, I was thinking of vetted by the community, but there's a technical evaluation. Yes, you're correct. Another question I have, and this may be a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway, is, and it may be one that I should have been aware of and haven't followed, but is the synchronized domain solution that's being used in the fast track a temporary solution until the permanent solution is approved?
Andre, yeah. Yes, it's explicitly saying it's a special solution for those two applicants, for the CNNIC and TWNIC. Because there is no technical solution, so it can be enforced only administratively. And it's clearly stated in the board.
And so when the permanent solution comes out, they would be required to migrate? No. They would be able to keep their synchronized solution. Okay, got it. And that, of course, could have implications if this permanent standard is not ready when new GTLDs are introduced. It could be a similar situation, so it's kind of a good information for potential applicants to be aware of.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the topic of synchronized names? If not, I'll turn it over to Chris for our next topic.
Thank you, Chuck. We had the other topic on our list of things that we thought might be worth talking about is the DNS cert proposal. The current status is that the paper was issued and comments have been submitted, and I think, I mean, I'm summarising here, but I would guess that somewhere in the region of 92% to 95% of the comments say roughly the same thing. And the baseline for that, the baseline of the easiest one to look at, simply because it's set out as a suggested way forward, is the letter that Chuck and Cheryl and I wrote to and put in as a comment, which says effectively that the way we make no comment about whether this is a good idea or not, but the way forward is that you should set up a cross-constituency working group, and that working group should start by looking at if there's a problem, and if there is a problem, what is the problem, and what's the gap analysis, and all of that stuff. So I understand that that the GNSO Council will be considering on Wednesday morning the suggestion that we actually just go ahead and do that anyway. The current situation is that the CCNSO Council has agreed that we could, subject to the GNSO agreeing, that we should set up a little charter drafting team to draft a charter for that cross-constituency working group. The ALAC has agreed that they think that's a good idea, and that even though it's the SOs that actually have to hold the working group and draft the charter, it would be including the ALAC. It would also be including the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, who have said to me that they would be very happy to be involved and support that. And it would also be our intention to ask for outside input from people like OARC and maybe some actual certs. So I'm aware that you guys have got to have a chat about that on Wednesday, and that Chuck's already sent a note out, and there are some people already volunteering on the basis that you end up agreeing. So I would like very much for us to be able to, at least on Thursday morning at the public forum, assuming we do agree, to announce that the ACs and SOs are currently drafting a charter for the working group that we suggested should actually be brought into existence. So that's where we are from that side of things. And were most of us at the session just now with Paul Mokopetris and Kaminsky, and so that's the which I thought was quite interesting, because I didn't really hear anyone suggesting there should be a DNS cert. More that it was any, it was something that maybe could happen, but there are other issues. So anyway, that's an introduction. We questions, topics.
Well, I actually heard at least Dan Kaminsky speak in support of the DNS cert, for the reason that it would provide smaller CCTLDs with resources that they probably do not have today. So I would just ask the question of anybody, other than the cost of the DNS cert, which I don't know, when you really consider it, it's probably marginal overall, in my opinion. What really is the downside to establishing such a function at ICANN?
That's a good question. I'm happy for anyone to chime in. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I won't pretend to understand all the technical aspects of it, but the concern that I have is that ICANN doesn't, keep creeping more and more into operational type activities. So to the extent that they could assist in coordinating or facilitating somehow perhaps such a function, that's one thing, but to continue down, encroaching more and more into operational areas, I think would be a mistake.
I think that's right. I mean, the way that I look at it is to say, okay, it's been raised. So should there be a DNS cert is a question. And the next question is, and if there should be a DNS cert, then should it be run by ICANN or facilitated by or funded by, whatever it may be? But we have processes for dealing with those sorts of questions, and we're pretty good at it, really. And if we are allowed the space to use our processes to come up with solutions, we tend generally to do that. So it's not a question of, I'm not saying there shouldn't be a DNS cert. I've no idea. I'm simply saying that we have a process that we can use to look at this sensibly and come up with a community led consensus opinion, hopefully, which will then, if that happens to be yes, then that's going to give it a massive amount of credibility, and get it set off on the right foot, I would have thought.
Go ahead, Andre, and then I'll pick up after you.
Yeah, I'll repeat my mantra. In order to make any decisions, we need initial data. We're still missing the data. Attacks, incidents, problems, list them. Or if they are under like security restrictions, say they are under security restrictions and only a limited number of people can access this, this will be also accepted, but we don't see it. Don't see them yet.
And that sounds like an element of the charter, or a possible element of the charter, right? And so that's it. Young.
Not just the incidents, but what the current system of security is lacking.
Now, are you also going to volunteer to draft the charter? Chris is right in what he said. We have quite a few volunteers on from the GNSO already that would like to be involved in that. And it's these kind of things, plus really the documents that are out there already, including the ICANN paper and follow-up papers, provide good elements for developing that charter. Other comments or questions?
I guess it's Alan Greenberg. I guess I have little less interest in seeing the particular list of incidents, although if they are around, that's fine, because even if we're doing this as a purely preventative reason, that's not a bad reason for doing it. What is important is what are we going to gain out of this that we don't have now, and why will it be better?
Well, Ole Knobin from the Council, I'm representing the ISPs. I have a comment or question more in a wider context to that with regards to security aspects in general. So, and the procedure how to deal with them. We have been faced with some experience that from ICANN side, the CEO was approaching us, you know, with regards to specific security items regarding the DNS, and we were dealing with that, but we did not know really. We realized that it was not a problem which we only were faced with. So it's a problem which covered also the DNS system and the ISP side as well. So we didn't know about how ICANN is going to deal with that to communicate here around the community and the community which is dealing with that. So it may have been that those letters have been gone to different entities, different parts of the communities, but separately, so nobody knew about who was approached. And so it could arise that different responses have been given independently. So my question is how to deal with that. From my experience, what I understand is we have processes here in the community, in the ICANN community, to deal with that. We have entities, we have working teams, we have bodies dealing with that. But it seems to be a little bit side past, you know, in this context. So I would like also to raise that question: how we should deal with that in the future. Maybe in the context of such a working team? Or
amongst other things, were you asking if how to deal with the fact that you receive a letter asking you for information and you don't know that anybody else has received that letter? Was that part of one example? Right. Because again, it's a question of making sure that your colleagues are aware of what's going on, or publishing your response or whatever. But to the direct point, I don't know anyone else in this room, but we know that despite the claim that the top 20 registries have been spoken to about this issue, those of us that are in the top 20 have not been spoken to about this issue. And so we don't understand where this information is actually coming from. And and as to your question of how to deal with it, I actually don't know the answer, except work together and come up with solutions. But I can't.
Well, yeah, for me, the question whether in this context we should come up with a with an agreed process about that, or is it for me it's still a question. So I could answer back, okay, I'm of the opinion there are different entities, different parts of the community are touched with that problem, so let's sit together, let's talk together, and that's the answer. Yeah,
and that's why we want to set up this working group across all of them. Leslie.
Leslie Cowley.uk. As one of the 20 registries that didn't know about this until it was spoken about in Nairobi, I guess for me the pushback against the ICANN assertion that this should somehow become an element of the ICANN strategic priority was mostly because it was a top-down initiative. Which is an incredibly unusual approach in this community. So I guess not only for us did it not seem to be very well based on analysis and collation of information, but it was because it was top-down that we felt we could not give support. It also seemed to put the DNS into a silo, rather than saying, okay, this is an element of other computer emergency response work that's going on in a whole load of places. So how can we engage with that rather than duplicate that with our own little DNS camp? And for us, in terms of ICANN taking on that role, we thought it was premature to assert that should be the case. And create sort of new structures and new organisations without having firstly analysed what was already in place and how that could maybe be better joined together. And that was where we were coming from, in the sense that perhaps if we can form this working group, which we would certainly support, that may be the answer. But we haven't gone through that process yet.
That's the sound of the DNS breaking. Thank you, Leslie. That's the second time that's gone off today. Yes, sir.
Terry Davis, Noncom GNSO. I guess one of the things that should come out of your working group is really your rules of engagement as far as assert. How do you interact with each other? Who's entitled to ask questions, and as well as who's entitled to receive information from the CERT? It won't be an open-ended process. It'll have very clear guidelines, at least it should, as to who participates, who can send information, and who can receive it.
Thanks, Terry. That's true, but I think we need to be clear here that that's a way down the track. The working group is not assuming at this stage, it won't assume in its charter that there should be a DNS cert, but if we got to that point, then we would be looking at what its role should be and so on. But yes.
Even if you choose not to create an ICANN cert, at some point you're going to want ICANN to join a cert for that very reason, so that you have access for all the registrars and registries.
Sure.
And again, you're going to have the same issue of what's my rules of engagement with that cert.
On that basis, yes, that would be an issue. Yes, sir.
It seems to me that Jamie Wagner, GNSO, it seems to me that the main objections against DNS cert are not based on merit, but on process. So we are not. I think that behind, I feel that there is a strong consensus that the merit is there for DNS cert to be in place. Who would be the if it will be an ICANN initiative or sponsored by ICANN. This is another thing, but unless I'm wrong, it's there is a consensus that something is to be done in respect to security of DNS, and ACERT would enhance this security.
Yeah, you're next. Okay, just want to. I would say that just slightly different, Jamie. I think you're right in what you said, but we're not at a point, I think, where we have enough information to judge the merit. That's one of the several people have made comments like that. So, but you're absolutely right that there's a process concern. We talked about this. We had our regular board dinner meeting last night with the GNSO, and we had different topics at each table. The table I was at was an open table, so we could talk about anything we wanted to. And DNS cert was one of the topics that came up, and Doug Brent was there, who was, of course, behind part of that coming out. And one of the things we discussed was that if it had been handled differently in terms of process, we would be in a very different place today. Even as simple, and I may be simplifying it too much here, even as simple as if they had put this document to the CCNSO and the GNSO and the SSAC and the ALAC, et cetera, and gotten some feedback and then responded to that and so forth, involved the community, we probably wouldn't even have had to deal with the process issues like we're dealing with today. But again, I say there's a lot more information we need to actually judge the merit. I think in our letter that we sent, we mentioned that the intent looks good, but we need some more information. We need to work together to accomplish that. Please, Andre.
Yeah, I think you took a lot of what I wanted to say, but I'm Andre Philippe de CZ. I just want to say we have our CERT team in the company, and we are supporting many trustworthy companies like Terena First and DNS Orac, for example. So there are a lot of there is a lot of companies that really or associations that really deal with security, and also that are really DNS oriented, like DNS Orac, for example. So it's not just the process, but also the whole idea if we should split our activity to many places, and or whether we should just have some one or a few a small number of organizations sure. that are currently in place, because we really don't want to support thousands of certs
yes.
focused specifically on any small part of the internet.
Thanks, Andre. I don't want to be I don't want to be controversial. Yes, I do. No, now, I don't want to be controversial. But think of this. What Rod actually said, among other things, in Nairobi, was the DNS is broken, that it could fall over at any moment, that there are issues with registries, etc., etc. And he said this morning, I said that because I believe it to be true. Well, if I was trying to stop the new GTLD process, I would be using that right now to say, how can you possibly contemplate putting hundreds of new names into the register, into the zone, into the DNS, with who knows how many new registries, until you have this supposed problem sorted out? So surely, you can't, can you? I mean, it doesn't make sense. So we don't know if there is a problem. We don't know what the problem is, and we certainly need to find out. But it's, as somebody said, I think it was Wendy Seltzer said in the DNS session this morning, how do we stop the scaremongering? Because it has knock-on effects that people don't necessarily always think of at the time. Adrian.
Thanks, Chris. Adrian Kinderis. I just wanted to add another three words, I think. It may be more than three once I finish saying them. Not only if I wanted to stop the new GTLD process, but also the IDN CC.
I'm sorry. I mean, I agree. I wasn't singling the GTLDs out.
Just merely trying to say that it's not just our problem, our being GNSO problem.
Correct.
It's everybody's problem.
Correct. Alan.
I don't mind Adrian getting his speaking
assignment first. I get an extra yellow T-shirt for every time it happens. I guess I agree with the issues that process wasn't followed. I would not want to be in a position a year from now after some major DNS disaster that perhaps could have been prevented if we had done something earlier, that we had slowed it during process. That doesn't alter the fact that I think we need to make sure, to the satisfaction of our stakeholders, that we're doing this in a reasonable way. And that's really the measure, the issue of getting people involved in the process.
Yes, it is, but there's another point, which is, do you know what a DNS cert would do, what it would stop, what it would make better? And the answer, it may well be the most fantastic thing anyone's ever suggested, but I actually at this stage have no idea. In respect to the DNS, I know what certs do, but in respect to the DNS, that's why we need,
My previous intervention was, in fact, let's understand what it is we're going to get, and then if we feel that there's something that we're missing that we want, let's move heaven and earth to try to do something quickly to make sure we're not in an embarrassing position a year from now.
Yeah, Leslie and Jamie. And just to follow up quickly, Leslie, if you'll forgive me a second. Alan, at the same time, you wouldn't want to be in a situation where we jumped too quickly into something and did it poorly either. Is that correct?
there's not an awful lot of option for me to say yes, I'd prefer if we jumped too quickly and did it incorrectly. So thank you for wording the question like that.
Thank you. LeslieKennedy.uk again. Can I just kind of move this conversation around as opposed to talking about process, talking about going forward? Because I think almost everyone, hopefully, in this room also has a focus on DNS security and stability. There's many people who can agree that that is important, right? The issue here is about how we can all come together and say how we can improve that, how we can work together to improve that. Out of that conversation, DNS cert may or may not be one of the initiatives.
Well, I was just saying that, I would say that we have processes. The community has process and right process to judge this kind of, and I would say the same. Even the flawed process is begun, we can make it put in the right track from now on.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so we're going, hopefully, when you guys have had your council meeting on Wednesday, if you manage to agree, then that will be great, and we can move forwards with that as quickly and safely as we possibly can. Does anybody want to talk about anything else at all? Because if not, we can just kind of buzz around for the next 20 minutes and talk to each other and have more cake. But if there's any other issues anybody wants to bring up for this joint meeting? Okay. Do you want to close it?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It wasn't a long discussion, but I think it was, from my perspective, it was very valuable to talk about these two topics. So thanks to each of you for being here, and look forward to continuing our relationship and working together. And in particular, now, just one reminder, the only thing we're talking about forming right now as a charter drafting team. We're not talking about forming the working group. So yeah, I think everybody's clear on that, but I just want to make sure. So thank you very much. Have a good afternoon, and you may stop the recording.